Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we are talking about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball, including the Atlanta Braves in written form over at TomahawkTake.com. Been doing a series of scouting reports over there on some of the Braves' top prospects. So if you're really interested in prospects, make sure you go over to TomahawkTake.com. Check out those articles I've been posting over there. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at @LockedOn_Braves. Send in your questions, which I'll be answering today, and any comments, feedback that you have on the podcast. I would love to hear them. Want to make this an interactive podcast with all of you, the listeners. Want to make this your show as much as it is mine. So make sure that you are following us on Twitter as well. Again, @LockedOn_Braves. And if you're watching on YouTube, I do really, really appreciate it. Please hit that subscribe button. Really does help out the channel a ton. So if you are watching on YouTube, please just take a second, hit that subscribe button. I do really appreciate all the support. And as always, thank you for making Locked On Braves your first listen each and every day. Really appreciate your dedication to the podcast and me taking over on the podcast. We post episodes right now 3 days a week during the off season, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But here pretty soon, about mid-February, we'll be back to 5 days a week, the only podcast coming out with daily content about your Atlanta Braves. So make sure that you are subscribed to the Locked On Braves podcast wherever you get your podcast. But it is Friday, and this is a mailbag episode. Didn't do one last week because we had Nick Green on the podcast. If you haven't checked out that interview with Nick Green, please go back and do so. Really fun conversation there. But Mailbag Friday is back this week. Got some really good questions that I'm excited to dive into. We're talking about a possible Marcell Ozuna trade that I think is very interesting, and about Waskar Ynoa. And we're going to talk about some pitching prospects that the Braves could trade this offseason. But let's start out with this trade suggestion from Jamar Baker. Jamar Baker 77 on Twitter. Very faithful listener of the show. Appreciate Jamar sending in this question here. Says, hey, Jake, I was listening to a Locked On buddy of yours, Millard Thomas, over at Locked On D-Bags. What up, Millard? He mentioned how Bumgarner's ineffectiveness has been infuriating for D-Bags fans. My question is, can you see a bad contract swap of Ozuna for Bumgarner? Millard also mentioned on the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast that they badly need a power threat. And we all know that power is Ozuna's game, for whatever it's worth. And certainly true, you know, that is what Ozuna gives you, power, and he will deliver that. Of course, hasn't played professionally in a while, wasn't really great for the Braves in 2021 when he was there. Knows he's been playing in the Dominican Winter League this offseason, but I think Ozuna is a little bit of a question mark as far as what you're going to get production-wise right now. But I like this trade idea. It's probably the best one I've heard so far as a bad contract swap, Ozuna for Bumgarner. Look, I know the Ozuna situation is a polarizing one. The fan base is split on it. I saw the poll that David O'Brien of The Athletic put out, and it was basically split up and down the board of, do you want to just get rid of Ozuna? Do you want to trade Ozuna? Do you think Ozuna should play for the Braves again? And I mean, it was pretty much just a dead split of 33% of all three of the choices that it was. So look, I understand all of you feel differently about Marcell Ozuna. I've made it pretty clear. I'm on the side. I don't want to see him in a Braves uniform again. I'm on the side of get rid of them, pretty much whatever you can do, and try to save as much money as you can. So that's probably why I'm more open to this trade, even though I understand Madison Bumgarner is a 4.5 ERA pitcher at this point. But if you just look at the contracts, they're pretty much similar. The Diamondbacks signed Madison Bumgarner for 5 years and $85 million before the 2020 season. That runs through 2024. He's got about $60 million left on his contract, set to make $23 million in 2022, $23 million in 2023, and then it goes down to $14 million in 2024. The Braves signed Ozuna for 4 years and $65 million, and that goes also through the 2024 season, and there's a $1 million buyout and a team option for 2025. So Ozuna is actually owed less. He's owed $53 million over that time frame, while Mad Bum is owed $60 million. So Braves would actually be taking on a little bit more money if that were going to be a straight-up deal there. And that is a high AAV for Mad Bum the next 2 years. And that could be a deal killer. Sorry, put two words together there. That could be a deal killer for the Braves, who are already looking to probably pay Freddie Freeman $28 to $30 million a year, and then have to pay somebody like Bumgarner $23 million a year for the next two seasons. That's kind of hard to imagine the Braves being willing to do that. Again, especially when I pointed out Bumgarner, you know, is a year older than Ozuna. He's 32. He has a 4.46 ERA over the last three seasons combined. I mean, he is a bottom of the rotation pitcher at this point in his career. And I've always loved Madison Bumgarner. I wanted the Braves to go after him when he was a free agent, but he doesn't have it anymore. There's a lot of innings on that arm. You know, he's done a lot of great things in the postseason with the Giants, a huge big game performer, but he's just not that guy anymore. But what are you going to do with Ozuna? I've talked about it plenty. Again, like I said, I'm on the side where I just don't think you can let him back in that clubhouse. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and I'm willing to listen to those of you who believe he does deserve to be back in that Braves clubhouse, but the question is, would the Diamondbacks take him on, or would anybody take him on with the baggage that he currently has and the money that he's owed? And like I said at the top, what type of player is he? I think that's still a little bit of a question mark right now. And he didn't help his case. If you've been paying attention to the Dominican Winter League that's going on right now, the series finale, and he's getting into it with fans. They had to stop the game because Ozuna's getting into it with fans during the inning. It's just not a good look. I honestly don't know what team would take on Ozuna right now, even in a bad contract swap like this for Bumgarner. But the money matches up. I would be open to doing it. I would say, I think for the Braves to do it, I think the Diamondbacks would have to kick in a little bit of money, which means the Braves may have to kick in a prospect, but I think there's a way to get this done. Again, it's the best idea that I've heard so far, and it still may not be a great idea to the Braves as far as, you know, a business standpoint is concerned. But if the Diamondbacks were willing to take on Ozuna and all that comes with him right now, and they really wanted to get rid of that Bumgarner contract, then I think a deal could potentially get done there. So great idea from Jamar. Appreciate you bringing that up, because I hadn't even thought about that yet as a bad contract swap. So I think that's a very good one. Let me know your thoughts on Twitter for sure. If you like that deal, Ozuna for Bumgarner, or if you think there are some other good trade ideas out there for Ozuna. Look, again, like I said, I'm looking to trade him and save as much money as we can. So if you got some good ideas out there of teams that would be willing to take him on, take on that contract, let me know. Send in your thoughts at @LockedOn_Braves. But I like this one from Jamar. I think that's definitely one to consider right there. All right, next, got a couple more questions want to get to. Before we do that, let me tell you about Built Bar. It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good you will want to eat them. Unlike the other protein bars out there, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill, you want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. By now in the new year, you're probably thinking, this isn't worth it. Where is the chocolate? Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Most Built Bars only contain about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So here's what you do, trying to get that, hang on to that New Year's resolution. Make sure you go to all your candy stashes, replace those bad candies with a Built Bar, which essentially is a candy bar anyway, except it's good for you. You can do the cookies and cream, peanut butter brownie, mint brownie, some of my favorites out there. Always new flavors at Built.com, so make sure you're checking there frequently. And when you are there, use our promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your order. Again, that's LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, next question here comes from VT Murdoch, always sending in some great questions for the podcast. He says, does Enoa project better as a reliever or closer? Says he exceeded my expectations as a starter. Haven't really talked about Waskari Noah this offseason. In fact, when I did my rankings of Brave starters for this year, I don't even remember if I put Waskari Noah on there. To answer the question, I view him as a reliever. But let's take a step back for a second, because he was really good for a stretch, a pretty long stretch in 2021. In his first 12 starts of the season, he had an ERA of 2.90. I mean, that is a really good stretch of being a starting pitcher, and that included his first three starts back after the injury. He finished poorly, as we all know, 6.75 ERA in September, pretty much non-existent in the playoffs, had one appearance there. But if you dive into those numbers, it's a little bit deceiving. If you look at the metrics, he ranked in the 14th percentile in hard hit percentage and 11th percentile in average exit velocity. That means he was getting hit pretty hard, and they just weren't going for hits. His BABIP of 271, his batting average on balls in play, indicates there was some luck. It's more normally around 310 for him, so he was, you know, a bit lucky in that. But again, that's a long stretch of, you know, you can't just chalk all that up to luck. There had to be some skill involved there. Maybe there was an adjustment period. Major league hitters hadn't adjusted yet, hadn't seen him enough yet. Whatever the case may be, all the metrics point to the fact that he was a little bit lucky in his starts last year, and that, you know, a regression would have come and ultimately did come in September. He did get good chase rates and whiff rates, though, mostly on that slider, which he threw nearly 50% of the time. Batters hit just 208 against it with a 40% whiff rate. So he does have an elite pitch. It's kind of like Kyle Muller. Kyle Muller's slider was absolutely devastating. Just didn't have enough around that and consistency with the other pitches, you know, to stay up and be an effective starter for a long stretch at the big league level. You know, also did a great job of limiting walks at the big league level, something you don't normally see. He was better with limiting walks at the major league level than he was at the minor league level. In Atlanta, he had a walk per nine of just 2.47, while at Gwinnett, it was 4.32. So, again, I don't know what to attribute that to. That is backwards from what you normally see, especially with younger pitchers. But he limited walks. He got lucky with balls on play. That all can kind of add up to, you know, a good stretch of starting pitching. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Waskari Noah. I watched it with my eyes. He was really good. It's just at some point you had to know a regression was coming. And again, when you're not throwing a lot of pitches, when you're primarily fastball slider, which is what he was, I mean, 90% of the time he's throwing one of those two pitches. It's hard to get through a lineup multiple times when you're only throwing two pitches like that, which is why most pitchers with only two pitches are sent to the bullpen. And his ERA in the first two innings of a game was 3.18, while his ERA in innings 3 through 6 was 4.75. So you can kind of see that right there. And, you know, that's normal for a starter. It's why starters don't go through the lineup a third time these days, is because major league hitters are going to figure them out. They're going to become more comfortable with them. But when you're only throwing two pitches, it becomes a lot easier for major league hitters to sit on a pitch. Again, I just wrote up an article on Kyle Muller. That's why I'm using him, you know, kind of as an example, because Muller had a pretty good, you know, shorter stretch of games at the major league level. But once teams found out that they could spit on that curveball once he lost command of that fastball, and you knew the only pitch he could throw was a slider, you know, it allowed them to sit on other pitches. It allowed them to sit on that hanging curveball. It allowed them to sit on that 92-mile-per-hour fastball, and he got lit up in his last couple of starts. So, you know, it's that same type of thing with pitchers that, you know, don't have two or three pitches in their arsenal that they can throw consistently in command. That's the difference between a starting pitcher and a relief pitcher. And that's why I think Waskari Noah is more so headed for a reliever type role. Now, I think he could be a multi-inning reliever. I think he could be very valuable as a guy that pitches the seventh, maybe part of the eighth inning. I think he has that ability, and I think he could be a very good relief pitcher in that role. And again, I think that's where he ultimately ends up. But because he was so good for 12 starts in 2021, he will get a shot in the rotation in spring training. But if you're asking where I think he's destined for, I think he is destined for that reliever role with that fastball slider combination, which is really good and can make him a really good relief pitcher. And there's no shame in that. I saw a tweet from Tyler Matzik the other day talking about, you know, how those middle relievers, those bridge type guys, are going to become even more valuable as the game goes on, because pitchers aren't going, starters aren't going as deep into games. We've been seeing that trend for years. So having guys like Enoa who can pitch multiple innings, you know, in the middle of a game to bridge that gap, I think those pitchers become even more valuable. So I'm not trying to, you know, lessen Enoa and what his effectiveness can be and what he can mean to this team. I just don't think he's a starter long term. Personally, I think he's going to be a reliever. But let me know your thoughts on Enoa, what you think his role will be long term. But appreciate the question there. VT is always sending in some great questions. All right, BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march through the playoffs in the NFL and NHL, NBA going on right now as well. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website, so sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 year. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, last question here. This one also comes from VT Murdoch as well. He said, should the Braves make a trade for a proven starter? Their rotation could use someone who could go a lot of innings. I would move Toussaint and Mueller. Depends on the upside of Schuster, Strider, Elder, etc. Could make 2 to 3 fringe starters expendable. Just to quickly answer the first question, yes, I've been, you know, saying it for most of the offseason. I think the Braves do need to go get another veteran starter for that third, fourth spot in the rotation. Really, I guess the fourth spot behind Fried, Morton, Anderson. Again, can't count on Soroka right now. So I think they do need to get another veteran to eat up those innings. Maybe it's Madison Bumgarner. I don't know, but I think they do need to go find another starting pitcher this offseason. But I wanted to turn this into a question of which starting pitching prospects would I trade, and more so which ones would I hold on to. So as far as the pitching prospects I would trade, you know, VT mentioned Tuki Toussaint. Everybody loves Tuki, and I know he's not a prospect anymore, but he and Sean Newcomb both, you know, they're not prospects, but they need a fresh start somewhere. I'm rooting for those guys. I think they have all the ability in the world. I would like to see them get a fresh start somewhere. So I would trade those guys more so for their benefit than the Braves' benefit. But those are two guys that I would part with. As far as the prospects go, look, I love these guys. I love all three of these players I'm about to mention. But in the right deal, I would trade Tucker Davidson, Bryce Elder, and Kyle Mueller. And I just talked about Kyle Mueller. I think he has the most potential out of those three I just mentioned. I think Davidson and Elder are very safe bets to be 3 and 4 starters in a rotation. But I'm okay trading that because I think the Braves have other guys behind him who can fill those roles and maybe have a little bit more upside, and then Tucker Davidson and Bryce Elder. So I would trade those guys this offseason or whenever during the season in order to make an upgrade somewhere else. Pitching prospects, I would not trade. I would not trade Spencer Strider. I would not trade Cusick, Joey Estes, or Freddie Tarnock. Those are the guys that I think probably have the most upside pitching-wise. And look, I'd probably trade Cusick too, but the Braves just drafted him in the first round. You could say the same for Jared Schuster as well. They just spent big first-round money on both of those guys. It's just hard for me to see them trading either one of them, even though I think Schuster's ceiling's a number three. Maybe he has number two potential, but I just don't see the Braves trading either one of the guys that they just spent a first-round pick on. So that's more so I just don't see the Braves doing that rather than would I do that. But Strider, Estes, Tarnock for sure are guys that I think have potential top-of-the-rotation upside. I need to dive into Joey Estes a little bit more. Tarnock, I think, does. It's whether or not, you know, he can continue to develop. The injuries have certainly set him back. Honestly, Strider's probably the only one that would be untouchable for me. I think he is the pitching prospect with the most upside. I think he's the only pitching prospect the Braves have right now that it could be a true number one or number two starter if he fully develops his secondary pitches. His fastball's already elite, and he basically dominated the entire minor leagues with a fastball that he throws 70% of the time. If he gets those other pitches going, that slurve, that changeup, I think he could be absolutely deadly in a top-of-the-rotation arm. At the very least, I can see him becoming a dominant closer. So Strider is the one pitching prospect that, for me, is untouchable right now. I would honestly trade any of the others in the right deal. I mean, I wouldn't just trade these guys to get rid of them, but I would trade pretty much any other pitching prospect for an upgrade at the starting rotation or, you know, in the outfield, a big bat. Again, it would have to be a significant piece you're getting to trade any of these guys, because for me, pitching depth is very, very important. You need at least 9, 10, 11 starters, it seems like these days, to get through an entire season. So I'm okay with not trading any of these guys and just having that depth, knowing that, hey, if two injuries come, you can call on a Kyle Muller and he can give you some quality starts, some good innings. You know, you can go to a Tucker Davidson. You could go to a Spencer Strider, a Waskari Noah, you know, even give Tukey another shot in there. I mean, you have plenty of starting depth, as I outlined in that other podcast when I gave you, I believe, 13 names of starting pitchers the Braves could use. So I'm all for keeping that depth, but again, outside of Strider, I would trade any of these pitching prospects in the right deal, because I just honestly don't see any of them becoming top of the rotation pitchers. So I think you could trade them and, you know, not really regret it a whole lot. So again, outside of Strider, I would trade pretty much anyone in the right deal. I wouldn't just give these guys away. But if you had an opportunity to make a big upgrade, I would certainly trade all those other prospects. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Braves. Really appreciate the questions you sent in. I have some others that I'll get to in a future podcast. But be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Braves. You can follow me at Shortstop Ball. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we will talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.